where we explore how to stay motivated and thriving in competitive STEM environments. In STEM fields, especially for women, systemic challenges in high-pressure situations are very common. Today, we'll hear practical advice on how to persevere, set meaningful goals, and maintain enthusiasm. To start, let's welcome and please introduce yourself briefly, your name, role, and your field within STEM.
Thank you very much, first of all, for the invitation. I'm very happy to be here. So I'm Zoe Kurnia, I'm a chemist. I'm a director of research at the Biomedical Research Foundation of the Academy of Athens here in Athens, in Greece. And I'm also a founder of a startup called Ingredio. So in my research, we design bioactive molecules. So as a chemist, I design molecules that could be candidate drugs eventually. And Ingredio is a company where we use the chemical knowledge across the world to understand whether any of the chemical ingredients in food and cosmetics products could pose any harms to human health.
Okay, really interesting. I would like to know more about it.
Sure.
Okay, let's start about what strategies have helped you to stay motivated and enthusiastic even when working in high competitive or, let's say, male-dominated environments?
Yeah, thanks for the question. I think what you mentioned here is key. The enthusiasm is key in whatever you're doing. If you're enthusiastic about what you're doing, it's going to turn out well. So what really has helped me to find my path and keep it is to combine what I am passionate about, so what makes me enthusiastic, and that's chemistry, obviously. So I studied chemistry. And then combine this enthusiasm with your skills and talents. So I consider myself a good chemist, I'm really bad in the lab. So I break things and like there's a mess and maybe a small explosion. But I'm very good with computers.
Okay.
So I combined computers with chemistry. So I did a branch of chemistry that's called computational chemistry. And then you combine your enthusiasm with your dreams and your skills and talents, but you also need to combine the market, what the market needs. So I always knew I wanted to come back to Greece. I want to live in Greece. So I have to see what branch of chemistry in Greece is competitive. So in Greece, pharmaceutical sector is very competitive. We have a very big pharmaceutical industry. So I thought, okay, why don't I do computational chemistry for drug discovery? Mm-hmm. So this is my strategy, like to combine my passion, my enthusiasm with my skills and talents, but also understand what the market needs. Where can I find funding for my projects and build an umbrella which combines everything? Because you need to understand also where you're coming from. So I am 165, so if maybe I'm enthusiastic about NBA, I want to be a basketball player, but can I do it? No. So you have to build a sort of your specific strategy based on your dreams, your skills and talents, and the market. So that's okay. My strategy.
That's really interesting. And you said that the key word is enthusiasm. But let's talk about career goals also. Setting long-term career goals can be a powerful source of motivation. How do you approach goal setting and how has it helped you to stay focused over time?
Yeah, so for me, that was very clear from the beginning. So because I'm in a very competitive environment, as you mentioned, so it's like you said, male dominated, but also I'm in science. I'm a director of research, which means it's a public position. It's equivalent, let's say, to the university professor, but in research. So the positions are very limited. So many times I hear my students saying, oh, you know, these positions are so limited, I'm not going to succeed. And I'm always saying what you need is a well-defined plan for your career. You need to have a target and you need to build a career plan with small steps. But you need to have this plan in the beginning. So you need to have like a midterm goal. For example, I want to do a PhD.
Okay.
And you need to have a long-term goal. For example, I want to be a university professor. If you don't have the plan, then you won't move along the path towards the target in a direct way. So basically, you have to see whatever you want to do. You have to set a target. You have to observe what your peers are doing. So what are the prerequisites that are needed for this job, for this goal? For example, for me, a career in research meant that I have to do a PhD, that I have to publish, I have to be very good on my science, and also that I need to know where I want to go. So I knew I wanted to be a professor or researcher in Greece. So I built my resume to reflect that situation. So how do I do this? Yes, first of all, I need science. I need good science. So I need publications, grants, whatever. So I did all that. So you need the hard skills. And then you need the soft skills. How do I leverage these scientific discoveries that I'm making to help me achieve my target?
Okay.
And the soft skills, you know, we hear about the soft skills, but maybe it's not very obvious how we're going to gain them. So basically, apart from the science, you need to know how to write. Everything goes like we all write emails, so we need to write in a nice way. We need to write grant applications or proposals. So how do I do this? You can start by writing a blog. Tell your friends to read it and ask them if they liked it. And you can take free courses on Coursera, etc. You need leadership skills. How do I do this? You can volunteer for your local team in your local community, and you can be a leader there, and you can build skills and you can write those in your resume. You need networking, so network with your peers, go to meetings, conferences. You need presentation skills. Again, you can practice public speaking with your friends. And so you need a different set of these soft skills. So you need to understand what your target is. You need to understand what your peers are doing in this level of the target that you have set. And then you need to build small steps. So I can tell you my personal story. So I studied chemistry in Greece. Then I knew that to become a professor, you need a PhD. And to get a professorship or a research position in Greece, you need also experience abroad. So I did my PhD in Germany, in Heidelberg, and then I moved across the Atlantic and I went to Yale University in the US because, you know, you're building your CV. So you have to build your CV so that you're the best, so they're going to hire you. And all of this, keeping in mind that what you're doing is really motivating you. So you're really enthusiastic and you don't see it as a job, but as your dream that is going to become true.
Yes, that's really good advice, I think, for everyone to hear.
And also I want to say, I did this trajectory, but then I never lost my communication to Greece because I knew that I want to come back here. When I came back from my summer holidays, my Christmas holidays, I always met my professors, my mentors, I gave talks about my research. So I made sure that my networking happens here back in Greece, because this is the place that I want to be hired at. So you have to be aware of your target and how to build in small steps your resume that will allow you to achieve the position that you want.
Being attached with your past, let's say.
If what you want is to come back, because maybe you could say, I want to become a professor at Harvard. Yeah, sure, that's also possible, but then you shouldn't come back to Greece. You should stay in the US, network in the US, and publish in very good journals so that that Harvard will hire you.
Of course.
So it depends on the target always, on the goal.
Okay. Over these years and during this path, of course, I'm sure that you're facing many challenges because are inevitable. Could you share a moment when you turned that setback into an opportunity for growth in your career?
Yeah. I remember one time when I left Germany after my PhD. I went to the US for what we call a postdoctoral position, so after your PhD. And in Germany, there was a lot of money for the students to travel to conferences, and that helped me a lot to build my networks. And when I went to the US, I asked my mentor, can I go to this conference? And he said, I'm sorry, but we don't have money in the lab for conferences. Maybe you can apply for a fellowship. So I looked into fellowships, and they were only limited to US citizens. So I couldn't apply. Yes. So that was terrible, because my long-term goal was dependent on networking, so I couldn't lose the opportunity to network. So what I did was to go to the postdoctoral office of my university, of Yale University. I told them what my problem was, and we formed a team. We went to the provost of the university, and together we decided that Yale would fund every year $20,000 for scholarships for foreign postdocs to go to conferences. And that was enabled us to go, like, every postdoc mm-hmm. that was not a US citizen could now apply to this scholarship to go to conferences. So I think that was a really nice example of what initially seemed like a limitation. You fight for it, and then eventually you gain something out of it, because it was also a leadership skill that I would write also in my CV.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, that I helped to create this fellowship program at Yale.
Okay, fight for your dreams.
Definitely.
For listeners who might be feeling overwhelmed or discouraged right now, what is one practical tip you would give them for building perseverances and staying excited about their STEM activity and STEM journey?
Yeah. So right. So motivation is key. So you really need to be motivated about what you're doing. If you don't like it, or if you start feeling that you're not feeling enthusiastic about this, I think you should drop it and really find what you want to do. And don't be afraid that others will criticize you. You should stay focused in what keeps you enthusiastic, independent of what the environment says. So, that's easy to say, of course, but I think when you're motivated, it gives you enthusiasm to work. And some people say, oh, you know, but you need luck, and I'm not lucky. But you know, my motto in my life is, the harder I work, the luckier I get. Because if you work very hard, then you're building a set skill, and when the opportunity comes where you need the luck, then you will be equipped to harness this opportunity. So for people who may be feeling overwhelmed, I would say my number one thing that has worked for me is to always keep things as they make me enthusiastic and motivated. And if they stop motivating me, then I turn my direction to what makes me motivated.
That's the most important thing I hear right now. Yes, it's a good advice for me also, I think.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. And today's key takeaway clear goal setting and finding personal inspiration are crucial to thriving in STEM, even when the environment is challenging. Follow us on social media and share this episode with everyone who uses a boost of motivation today. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me.